I'm sorry I had to be away for the last 2 weeks. That's not really true. I'm not sorry at all that I had to be away the last 2 weeks. I had a lot of work to do. I was working very hard. Yeah, you'd be sorry. None of you'd be sorry. I had a lot of work to do, and it's not finished yet, but we're going to continue working, and we'll see how we get things done. You know, there comes a time in everybody's life when they have to do what they have to do. So that's the mode I'm in right now, doing what I have to do. All right, it's the day before, it's Erev Yom Yerushalayim. The fact is, already since yesterday you could feel Yom Yerushalayim in the city. The city was hopping during the day, it was hopping last night. I at least had the opportunity this year to be at the presentation of the Moskowitz Prizes last night. I was never able to do it before because this place I work for, the Israel Center, always had a dinner the same time that the Moskowitz were giving prizes. But this year they finally decided two things, to make them on two separate nights, so guys like me who want to be at both will be able to be at both. More than that, I don't have to have a chicken dinner that I don't like anyway, so there'll just be a concert, and I'll get a falafel in town someplace. So Yitz Hashem, we already begin to celebrate. It's an awesome celebration. I tell you, we are all very fortunate because we've lived through all of the events of the last 70 years. I mean, for those of you who were at 70, most of you are not anywhere close to that. But we've lived through this all. It's unbelievable. We lived through May of 1967. The Jewish world was terrified. Churban Bayit Shlishi is coming. The frenzied crowds in Cairo calling for the destruction of the State of Israel. But you know what? It's 43 years later. They're still calling for the destruction of the State of Israel. And the fact is, what's happening is they're getting destroyed, picked off, imploding, destroying themselves one after another. It's unbelievable. But the Rishon has such a way of running his world. Who knows what's going to be with Egypt, with Libya, with Tunisia, with Yemen, with Syria, with Iran, with Iraq. May. And here it is, this great, smallest country in the world is strong, is powerful, is free, is democratic, and we have Yerushalayim. This is only the work of God Almighty Himself. Let's learn. Number one is, I believe, a fundamental Gemara that captures our lives. It captures what we have experienced in the last 70 years. And this Gemara was written a long time ago. And I have to say that I have a little bit of a different view of this Gemara than I ever had before. And I'll explain. Amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. The Amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi said, Bela, do you hear this Gemara?
Yeah.
Who said this Gemara? Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. All right, so what are you all excited about? I'll tell you the truth. I was working very hard for the last few weeks and doing all sorts of things. And we decided that I have to get out of Yerushalayim for 2 days, away from everybody. So we have a place up in the lower Galilee, Tzipori. Maybe you heard of Mitch and Susie in Tzipori. So we went to Tzipori. Okay. I found out, I've been told already that they made a pool. They never had a pool now. There's a pool there. So I come up with it, it's like nobody's there. Then all of a sudden, down through the area of the pool, 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 10, 15. Rabbi, go! Rabbi, go! Bela, are you I doing? God, I ran away. And they all ran here before me. If Rabbi Adam's wife was there, she said, oh, I knew you, and said, don't this. This is not what I was expecting. What were they all doing there? They were a group from Matan, and they were on a tiyul in the footsteps of the rabbis of the Talmud. What happened since the last time I was in Sipori, they dug up the area for the pool. And they found, of all things, an awesome find. The kever, the burial place of none other than Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. So here's this whole busload of people that have come here to be at the kever of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. It was most of the sixth perek of Pirkei Avos is Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, and on the wall there they have all of those statements of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. Awesome, very beautiful. And now, whatever I learn, I keep coming up with Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. He is our patron Amora right now. But of course, I mean, I got over, as soon as they all got into the bus and off they went, so then we were able to start our vacationing. But you know, you can't get away from anybody. They were all there. Okay. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi said something awesome, and that's what we're going to learn. And I said, this Gemara is the story of Jewish history for the last 70 years. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi said, Lova Nikro Shimon Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. Who are the leaders of the Jewish people at the time of the return from the Babylonian exile, the beginning of the second commonwealth, the second Beit HaMikdash? 120 rabbis who were called the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, the men of the great assembly. We don't know the names of many of them. We only know second Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Shimon HaTzadik. Shimon HaTzadik was one of the ones who remained at the end of the period of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. It was probably a period of 100 years or so. We're going to see soon the first Mishnah in Pirkei Avos tells us that from Moshe at Sinai, everything goes generation by generation until it arrives at the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, the men of the great assembly. They were the leadership of the Jewish people and the return to Zion. So Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi asks, why were they called Anshei Knesset HaGedolah? And he answers, Shehechaziru al-Torah li-Yoshen, because they restored the crown of God's glory to its original luster. How so? In what way did they restore the crown of God's luster? Otto Moshe, the Yoma, originally in Torah, Moshe came and he described the Rebbeinu Shalom, he described him as Hokel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vahanora. That is his description of God. The great, the mighty, the powerful, and the awesome. Otto Yirmiyo Vyoma, along came Yirmiyo, and he said, Nochrim the Karkidin Beichola, behold, strangers are croaking in his sanctuary. Ayein Nora Osav, where is the awesomeness of God? His temple has been destroyed and is in ruins. And Babylonian troops trample through the Holy of Holies. Where is the awesomeness of the fear of God? Yirmiyahu saw korban. He saw destruction. He saw exile. Lo aman nora. In chapter 32 of Yirmiyahu, Yirmiyahu prays, and he refers to God as Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor. Stops there. Does not describe God as Nora. Awesome. Lo aman nora. And that's a fascinating chapter. That chapter is the Haftorah of Parashat Bahar. the strangest real estate deal ever made. God appears to Yirmiyahu while Yirmiyahu is incarcerated. He's been imprisoned by the king of Yehuda, and he's down there someplace in the pit of a jail within the within Yerushalayim. I mean, I get pictures sort of, something like down at the bottom of the Bastille, or who knows where. Rats scurrying around, cobwebs all over, water dripping in, people shuffling around in torn gowns. And the Rebbe says, listen, your cousin is going to come, and he's going to offer you, he wants to sell him to you, his field, in a place called Anatot. Anatot is somewhere, I would say, between Rechez Shuachat, Ramat Shlomo, and the Ve'yako. There was an Arab village there called Anta. They preserved the Hebrew names all over. They didn't know what they were doing. They preserved our heritage. Anatot was the city that Yirmiyahu came from. So God tells him, you should know your cousin is going to come and he's going to offer you. He's going to sell you his field. His field, his cousin's field, wasn't worth 2 cents. It was already in the hands of the Babylonians. Everything was for it's mamish, it's useless. Buy it from him. And Yirmiyahu does exactly that. He buys, he pays in full. The Chavashah knew that sometime around 2011, prices are going to be jumping in Yerushalayim, you're kidding me. He knew, of course, that houses are going to fall in value in the United States. There won't be any place for it to fall any further. And he told them at the darkest moment in Yirmiyahu's life, because he tells the relation, then he, first of all, he buys it. He buys the field, pays in full. And it's a surrealistic scene. Here are these other inmates, and one of them, two of them sign, others come along and they approve the sale. And this is all like, the party of the first part, the party of the second part. The sale takes place. After Yirmiyahu buys it, then he turns to God. I don't understand. I can hear the battering rams of the Babylonians. The city is falling into the hands of the Babylonians. And you want me to buy a piece of land out there? So he prays to God and refers to him as Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor. That's it. He can't say the word Nora out of his mouth. So the Gemara goes on to say, better said, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi goes on to say, also Daniel, after him came Daniel. Daniel was already in Babel. Omar, he said, Noch the Mishtab the Bebon of Goyim are enslaving his children. This is the period of the 70 years of the Babylonian exile. On to the right. Where are the displays? Where is God's might? Lo amar gibor. He also prays, but he doesn't say gibor. He doesn't see God's power. Also inhu, what happened was, what the Amshik Esatak of the Lord did? Also inhu, Yomu, they came and they said, Adarada, Zuhi Gvura. This is his magnificent display of strength. Shekove Shet Yitzro. He restrains his Yitzro all these years that his people are subjugated. Shenoten Erech HaPayim L'Rishoyim. He is long suffering with the evil. Ve'elu Heino Ra'otav. And you know what's awesome about God? Shel Molai Meiroi Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if not for the awe of the nations of the world, before the Holy One, blessed be He. Heich Uma Achad Yechola Litkayin Ben Ho, what happens this nation survive amongst all the nations of the world? the greatest miracle of them all, the survival of the Jewish people. So you know what they did? They wrote the Shemon Esrei, and you know what they wrote in the Shemon Esrei? Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vanora. They replaced the Norah that Yirmiyahu left out, and the Gibor that Daniel didn't say, and they now describe God as Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vanora. Alright, so now the Gemara asks Rabbanon, the rabbis, Yirmiyahu and Daniel, each of whom omitted one of the attributes stated by Moses in his prayer, Hechi Avdi Hachi. How did they do that? If Moshe Rabbeinu describes God as Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vahanora, how does Yirmiyahu leave out Nora? How does Daniel omit Gibor? How did they do that? Who gave them the right to do that? Hechi Avdi Hachi. Va'okri takamta the Tikkun Moshe, and they abolished the institution that Moses instituted. He said, Hakel HaGod LaGibor Nora. Omar Rabbi Elazar, what a beautiful answer the Gemara gives. Omar Rabbi Elazar said, Mikoshi Yodin Bakodesh Baruch Hu Shamiti Hu, because they knew about the Holy One, blessed be He, that He is truthful, and He despises falsehood. L'fichach lo kizmu, though therefore they would not speak falsehood to Him. What's Yirmiyahu supposed to do? He doesn't feel that God is Noah. He doesn't see that God is Noah. Is he simply to mouth some kind of a formula in which he doesn't believe? He can't do it. He can't do it. And more than that, he knows that God is going to see through him. What are you telling me, Noah? I know you don't feel it. Daniel can't say Gibor. He doesn't see it. So he doesn't say Gibor. They knew that God is truthful. In other words, you can't be super firm. In other words, Yirmiyahu could have said, I see God in the midst of Chorban. I see God. He may see God, but he doesn't feel the awesomeness of God. When a Jewish people are being decimated, their Bet HaMikdash destroyed, you don't see the awesomeness of God. I have one question on the Gemara. The Anshei Knesset HaGadola were greater than Yirmiyahu and Daniel? They were able to see what Yirmiyahu and Daniel couldn't see? They were able to see, how does this nation survive amongst the nations of the world? Oh, that's Noah, that's awesome, that's God-fearfulness. Where's God's might? Is God's might is really a Zehu Gibor, who is a Gibor, a Kovashik Yitzchak, the one who is able to control and restrain himself. God would want to cut down the evil of the world instantly, but he holds himself back. He restrains himself. Yirmiyahu didn't know that? Daniel didn't know that? Of course they knew that. Whatever the men of the great assembly knew, they knew even far more than they did. Yirmiyahu and Daniel, they rose above the Anshei Knesset HaGdola. The only thing is, you know what the difference is? Yirmiyahu lived in one time period, Daniel in a second, and the Anshei Knesset HaGadola in a third. Yirmiyahu lived at a time of Chorban, and that's what he saw. He knows all the thing on Imam and Abu Neshleim, the Vias HaMashiach. He knows all of that. But the fact is, that's what he's living. His experience is the experience of a Jewish people being an attempt at an annihilation of the Jewish people. That's his experience. That's the time frame in which he lives. Daniel is living at a time of exile. Jews are living in foreign lands. They're not on their own land. And that weakens the Jewish people considerably. It's a terrible experience, living not amongst your own and not having your own sovereignty. Anshei Knesset HaGadola are living at the time of Shivat Zion. The Jews are on their way back to Eretz Yisrael. That's a completely different period of time. A completely different period of time. They're coming back from Babel to Eretz Yisrael. They're already laying the foundations for the Beit HaMikdash. Nehemiah is making his midnight ride around the walls of the city. He begins to plan how to rebuild the walls. This is a different story. They're living in a completely different time frame. If there is confusion in our generation, it's simply that we experience in the short period of 3 years, we experienced Yirmiyahu, we experienced Daniel, and we experienced Anshei Knesset HaGadola. From Auschwitz to Jews homeless in Europe, establishment of the State of Israel. All the awesomeness and greatness of those three separate and distinct periods of time in the days of Yirmiyahu, Daniel, and Anshei Knesset HaGadola, we experienced it in 3 years. And let's not lose sight of the fact. Most probably upon the return of Jews from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, I don't know whether they ever achieved the might and the power that the State of Israel has achieved in 63 years. I don't think they ever did. Certainly in comparison to a whole world out there, we were still a small little nation, Allah. Most probably by the time they had the Second Temple. When did they first become independent? 150 years later, when the Hashmonaim rebelled. For 150 years, there was no independence. Ezra himself, when he prays at the dedication of the Beit HaMikdash, he says, "Oy, the Beishon, yes, we built the Beit HaMikdash, things are happening, things are doing, but we are unfortunate. Avadim anachnu, we are enslaved to the kings of Persia and Medes. We don't have our independence." So, three periods. Yirmiyahu, Daniel, Anshei Knesset HaGadola. We have to take a closer look at these three. We certainly are in the position to say, Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vahanoira. They are no question about it that there are attempts of all sorts to destroy us. I mean, there's no question about it. It's going on all the time. We know all about it. And that we survived is, I mean, how many times have I said it? The famous, but it's like a Chassidish Maisa already. When you hear a Chassidish Maisa, or for that matter, a Litvish Maisa, and you hear it in the name of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, and meanwhile you heard it also in the name of Chaim Volozhin, and by Sidon you hear from the Lady Yitzhak Ibadichiv, and by another, you know, all these good stories have a lot of parents, you understand? Everybody. So here's the great story of Pascal, who was asked by King Louis XV, "Prove to me that there are miracles." And Pascal is supposed to have said, "The Jews, Your Majesty, the Jews." And then it was supposed to be King Frederick of Prussia, Esther, I can't pronounce it anymore, Michelin, some Frenchman, yes, and prove to me that there are miracles. And he says, my hair, but the Jews, das Juden, they are the ones that are. So we're the proof. We are the proof of Hakel HaGadol HaGibor HaNora. But the Hakel HaGadol HaGibor HaNora has to be taken one giant step further. And for this idea, I want to introduce you to a number of great thoughts from her Soloveitchik that I see. I see them as approximating Hakel HaGadol HaGibor HaNora. The Bob sentences in one of his unbelievable shir. The topic of the shir is he's talking about the idea of bracha. We make brachas. You can have a glass of water, you say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Shakol, Nehiyah B'Tvarok. Everything came into being through your word. Borei Pri Haetz, Borei Pri Adam, Ala Rabbeinu. Prophets, we see God revealed in a glass of water. Sha'akol, everything came into being through your word because you said it. So the Chov goes on to ask a fascinating question. But wait a minute. What bracha do we make on life itself? All right. We know what bracha to say when you're taking a drink of water. But wait a minute. The greatest gift that God gave us. When do we say a bracha on that? We live, we breathe, we do things, we accomplish. No bracha? Says, yes, there is a bracha. And he says the following idea. He says that God expects of us nothing more than he expects of himself. And there are three hallmarks of God's existence in this world. He conducts himself in awesome manner. And the three areas are, first he talks of the Kabbalah in Jewish mysticism. Arizal, others, there's what's called the Sod HaTzimtzum. Sod HaTzimtzum is the secret of contraction. In order for a world to come into being, but wait a minute, in this world, there's a God who fills the entire world. How is the world going to come into being? What's necessary is for God to contract himself, withdraw himself, shrink himself in order to permit space and place for a whole world to exist. That's called the Sod HaTzimtzum, that God contracts himself. He withdraws. He retreats. Not only that, Rob goes further. He says, God could very well have decided to give Torah to the whole world. I've got the whole world in my hands. It's all mine. You know what he does? A further act of withdrawal. He chooses one people on the face of this earth. So you think that he's going to choose the Chinese? So you have 2 billion from each? No, he chooses the Jewish people, who are the smallest. God didn't choose you because he didn't desire you because you're the greatest nation. And he's going to take this little nation and he's going to turn them into a kingdom of priests. His people, his representatives on earth. God went through another process of withdrawal and contraction. He could have chosen any land. He could have taken any land. So who did he choose for the smallest people on the face of this earth? The smallest land on the face of this earth. The Sod HaTzimtzum is expressed in a famous Medrash. The Medrash says that when God told Moshe to build a dwelling place, a Mishkan unto him. So Moshe was terrified. He was taken aback. He began to shake. He said, God Almighty, Hinei HaShamayim, Ushmei HaShamayim, Lo Yechal Kaluha, you cannot be contained by the heavens and the heavens of the above the heavens. You want me to build a house for you? It can't be. Oh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, Lo Kishem Sha'ato Sovor, it's not the way you think. You just put up 20 beams on one side, 20 beams on the other side, cover it. And I'm going to bring my divine presence down, and I'm going to contract it to live in your midst. So if this is one of the dimensions of God's personality, so to speak, in this world, that's what he requires of us. We have to be able to contract. We have to be able to withdraw. What does contraction and withdrawal mean? What does it mean? So I'll give you the medrash that the Rav brought. And it's described by the word Suva Bashoshanim. A hedge of roses. A hedge of roses. What's a hedge of roses? So Rashi brings from the medrash. Chosin and Kala, after their wedding, they're finally alone. And she turns to them and she says, I saw a spot of blood. He turns away. She turns away. They're not permitted to one another. They understand the awesome power of being able to withdraw and control and not do what one wants to do. Is there anybody standing there? There's somebody going to strike them down? Nobody's there. What stops Chosel and Kala from joining with one another? There's a hedge of roses between them. Who's that hedge of roses? The vision, the fear of God. A man is walking on a sunny, hot day. And there's a beautiful fig tree, and he stretches out his hand to take a fig. He stops. No. It's not mine. What stops him? Suba Bashoshan, the relation said, oh, take no, don't steal. That's it. For that matter, the Rav goes on to say, All of halacha, what we should and what we may not do, are all emulating God. Just as he withdraws and retreats and restrains, so all of halacha is the story of withdrawal, retreat, and restraint. Shabbos, Tarshish, you're out someplace in America, you go, you're in Kansas City, and you go to a big shopping mall. I don't know why I chose big shopping mall. And you're hungry. And there are 20 trefer restaurants over there. Find out what you're going to do. You're going to go into the supermarket, and you're going to go desperately looking for Israel Center, OU, you understand? Okay. And thank God in America today you can find it. I still remember America, where if you didn't take food with you from Brooklyn, you were finished. You're going to starve to death. But whatever it is, there's always the restraint. And then, of course, if you start thinking of Malta, you understand, where there are 18 kosher restaurants, they are you going to feel dead that you're out in Kansas when you could have been in Yerushalayim, you're out of Kodesh, you understand. And you wouldn't even know which restaurant to choose over there. This is the picture of the Lorentian's personality. He withdraws. Tzimtzum. every moment of the day, Shulchan Aruch is telling us what we may not do, what we should be doing. And that's all tremendous self-control. That's the dimension. A second dimension of God's personality is God calls it humility and anonymity. Anonymity. You know what this world is? This world is an awesome canvas by the greatest artist of them all. There's only one difference between the great artist and the world. The artist has signed down on the bottom, his name is there. Just take a look, you'll see who it is. The vision created a beautiful, beautiful, magnificent, majestic world. But he didn't sign his name down there. You're going to have to find him. You're going to have to discover him. Because God lives in anonymity. He lives in... And that's all the result of the tension, the withdrawal. He's not looking for headlines.
Pirsum.
He doesn't need pirsum. We need pirsum and nisa. When God has done a miracle for us, we have to make certain that we know the miracles he's done for us. But he's back there in his anonymity. Avraham Avinu understood the meaning of anonymity. Avraham Avinu said, Anoki Ofer Ve'efer, I am ash and I'm dust, and dust of the earth. There are 120 members in the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. What do we know of them? What biographical sketches do we have of them? We don't even know their names. Except maybe for a handful. But that was never important to them. Their job was to lead. Their job was to teach. You lead, you teach, transmit Torah further, and then off from the stage and the next generation comes. It was never important for them that all generations should know exactly who the Tata was and who the Nana was and who their children were and where they went to school and what they ate for breakfast. This was never important. Never important. And the fact is that for a long, long time, there were never biographies of the Gedolei Yisrael. But I think we need it desperately now. In other words, our generations have to have a picture before their very eyes of what great Jews were like during the course of the last few centuries. There were awesome people, and there are awesome people amongst us. What do we know about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was a leader of such great power and majesty. He took Klal Yisrael from the Churban of the second Beit HaMikdash and further, and he laid the groundwork for the ultimate survival of the Jewish people. Vespasian must have thought this Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. This Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai doesn't understand the realpolitik. He gives him an opportunity, ask what it is that you want. And he says, I have a kol in Yavne, that's 10, 15 old fellows, they give me 10 li Yavne v'chachomela. Most probably, if not for the fact that Vespasian had some respect for Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, he would have left in his face. So what happened? Mighty Rome, gone! And Yavne v'chachomeho, and a Klal Yisrael, most probably are mightier today than Rome was at its peak. Yavne v'chachomeho. That's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu conducts himself. That's where he wants us conduct ourselves. And there's a third dimension of God's personality. And this is awesome. Silence. God is silent. The Gemara says on the Pasuk in Bas Yoshe, Micha Mocha Va'elim Hashem, who's like you amongst the gods? The Gemara reads it, Va'elim, the silent ones. God hears a lot of voices throughout history all over the world, rejecting him, denying him, blaspheming him. Shashtil. You know what you have to learn from God's silence? That we have to remember that there are moments where the only way for us to respond is silence. We don't ask the Rebbeinu, why did you do that to Klal Yisrael? Where were you when that was happening? We don't ask God those questions. We accept it in silence. Do we want God to turn around and ask us, why did you do this and that and the next thing? And list all of our indiscretions? No, we remain silent. As the Chovan in a different place said, another place said, we never ask why. The only thing that we ask, we have to ask of ourselves, how are we going to learn from this terrible experience? What are we going to take out of it? But we never question God. We can't. There are certain things that are beyond our ability to to understand. Here's another one of those famous stories that's said about so many Gedolei Yisrael. Or some people, just this is something that happens often, how difficult it is. A loved one dies Erev Yantif. The Levaya is Erev Yantif in the afternoon. See? You begin Avelus, and an hour later, Yantif arrives. And you know what the mitzvah then is? The Samachta Bechagecha. Be full of joy in you. Do you know what that demands of a human being? Such strength. Awesome strength. There's a moment for silence, and now there's a moment for joy. They tell the famous story. They say about the altar from Sabakin, the Chaim Velazhin, it was Shmuas. It was Erev Shavuos in the yeshiva. Yantif had just begun. They were already singing and dancing. And somebody arrives with a telegram, and the Elder Sefer looks at the telegram, puts it into his pocket, and goes dancing for 2 days and learning Torah and all the rest. The moment of Havdalah arrives. It's 2 days. 2 days in Chutz La'aretz. The moment after Havdalah, he bursts out into crying. His telegram told him that his daughter had died. So here it is. He's able to go through 2 days Yantif, and then he bursts out into tears. That's the idea of silence. To be able to accept what happens in this world. Now, I want to take it one step further. On your sheet. First, number two, the first Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Moshe Kibel Torah v'Sinai. So today is not only talking with the Shia, we're not only talking about Jewish history, where we find ourselves, thank God we find ourselves in the period not of Yirmiyahu, not of Daniel, we find ourselves in the period of the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah, when we can say in the fullness of our religious personalities, Hakel, HaGadol, HaGibor VaHanora. But we're also, next week is Shavuos.
Moshe kibel Torah li Sinai. Moshe received Torah from Sinai. And the son of Yeshua, he gave it over to Yeshua, and Yeshua gave it to the elders, and the elders to the prophets, and the prophets gave it over to Anshei Knesset HaGadolah, the men of the great assembly. Heim Amru Shlosha Devarim. They said three things. Have Metunim Badin. Be careful in judgment. V'hamidu Talmidim Harbei. Raise many students, Vasu Siyog La Torah, and make a fence around the law. These are, in fact, this is precisely what Anshei Knesset HaGadolah did. But I want to elaborate a little bit on these three statements of the men of the Great Assembly. Each one of them represents Gadol, Gibor, and Nora. Each one of them represents a form of the way in which God acts in this world. Havei metunim badin. You know what I believe the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah was saying, aside from its simple meaning, which is that a judge has to be careful in judgment. He has to be careful. He has to consider all aspects of the question. Having metunim b'din also means be very careful not to pass judgment on historic events. Bide your time. Don't make hasty decisions. Second World War, Auschwitz, Jewish people are finished. There's no God, Chas v'Shalom. Wait a minute. Quoted often, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, who said that the establishment of the State of Israel saved faith by the Jewish people. Because if Klal Yisrael emerged from Auschwitz with questions for which there were no answers, and there was a flight from faith, along came the State of Israel and stopped that flight from faith in its tracks. Because, well, there's a new reality. God is certainly alive and well in Eretz Yisrael. So be very, very patient in judgment. Don't try and... we live, of course, in a world where everything is instant and we make a lot of mistakes because of that. I mean, Netanyahu didn't finish the speech yet. And all the commentators in the world, and especially the guys over here, they're attacking him in the Reisfilm Sticker, you understand? I always hope that maybe the day will come that our people will have a little seichel and they will understand that being in the opposition doesn't mean that you oppose Yom HaLaila, but there are times that you can stand up and say, my prime minister, I'm proud of it, but they don't have the brains. Be careful in judgment. Don't attempt to see through and understand clearly everything that's happening in history, even in current events. Tomorrow you're going to find out something else. Things will change. You know, like over here, it's always there's always a window of opportunity opening for peace. And I always say, every time a window of opportunity opens, I get a cold. You understand? I get a breath. Finish. These window of opportunities, it's deadly. And you know, you can't have a vacuum. You can't have a vacuum. There have to be talks. If there's going to be a vacuum, like... So sign a vacuum. Maybe we can sit and not talk for a year or two. You know, there's so many ideas that float around in this world as though it's got to be. You got to keep talking. There has to be a plan. There has to be this. There has to be that. Take it easy. Everyone tune in about this. Be careful. And as you are being careful, what you really have to do is Hamidu Talmidim Harbe. That was the... That was one of the challenges of our generation.
We had to rebuild the world of Torah that had been destroyed utterly in Europe. And I think a tremendous accomplishment to rebuild all of that, to rebuild the Jewish people. It's awesome. Basusyag la Torah, the idea, yes, that we have to have all of these, the tzimtzum, the withdrawal, the restraint. We have to see what the challenges are, what the fears are, and how we're going to deal with it. The Susyag la Torah, I would say, represents the Gevura of God. Ezehu Gibor. Who was a Gibor? HaKadosh Yitzchak, the one who was able to restrain himself. The Hadimetunim Badin is another aspect of God's personality. Silence. God is silent. Don't rush to judgment. Don't be in a hurry to say, you understand. That Michamocho Be'elim Hashem, what does it say afterwards? Michamocho Be'elim, no Ra Tehillot, God is awesome. Have a Mitunim Badim, is a Kael, a Godol, a Gibor, Vahanora, Vahanora. Have a Mitunim Badim is Nora. Asus Yag La Torah is Gibor. And what is Gadol? Tell you what is Gadol. Take a look at number 3. So I just want you to get the following. There are 3 statements by the rabbis of the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah. They are the ones who instituted that we say Yishmon Ezra HaKeil HaGadol HaGibor HaNora. I want to say that each one of Gadol, Gibor, and Nora represent one of the 3 statements that were made by the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah. What do we say after HaKeil HaGadol HaGibor HaNora and Shmon Ezra? Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. These 3 aspects and dimensions of God personality are expressed in Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov as well. And Anshei Knesset HaGadolah saw them all written in these 3 words, Gadol, Gibor, and Nora. So we've said Nora is silence. Nora is silence. Mi chamocho bo'ilmim, who was like you amongst the silent, that is having a tunim badin. Be silent. Don't rush to judgment. Don't decide that you know the meaning of this particular moment in history. You may not know it. I remember I had 30 years ago I had a debate in the pages of an important Orthodox magazine in the United States with a gentleman certainly older than me, certainly one of the highly respected figures in the Torah community in the United States of America. I mean, I didn't mean anything, but I just may have written an article in which he said, like, what's everybody getting excited about over here about what's going on here? It's just, well, because there's some kind of a kibbutz goliot, like some Jews coming back, so this is something to get excited about. Where did I explode? Yeah, I exploded, you understand? And I penned off a letter. And miracle of miracles, this was in Nes Goli. They printed it. They never printed anything ever again. I said, what are you talking about? Some kind of a kibbutz goliot. This is when the Jewish population here was about 2.5 to 3 million. And you know what? The strange thing is, 30 years later, they reprinted that article. Didn't occur to them that there are 6 million Jews now, largest Jewish community in the world, Jews here from 130 countries. Some kind of this is proof that something's happening over here. Okay, what else does the guy need? You knock him over the head. With that, I understood a medrash. There's a medrash that says, if somebody's going to tell you all the exiles have returned, and Yerushalayim has not yet been rebuilt, al tamin, don't believe him.
What's the guy talking about?
Of course Yerushalayim has been built. As the Medrash says, Bonei Yerushalayim Hashem, God builds Yerushalayim. How? Nidche Yisrael Yechanis, he brings in Nidche Yisrael. But you know, people can't even see, right? What's right in front of their eyes? They can't see. Yes. Let's get back number three. Wherever you find the greatness, Gadol, remember the word Gadol, wherever you see the greatness of the Holy One, blessed be he, there you will also find his humility. Wasn't that one of the dimensions of God that the Chav had described? The relation is humble. He's anonymous. He's there in the background. He doesn't make any great noises. He remains there silent for men to discover him. This is written in Torah. The Shani Banadim, and the second time it's written in the Nadim, Mushulash Baksuvim, and the third time it's in the Ksuvim, Kosu Batorah. Listen to this, Baseh. It says in the Torah, Hashem Elokechem, God your God, who Elokei Elokim, he is the God of all gods and the master of all masters. This is where Moshe Rabbeinu said, Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vahanora, Hashem Yisoponim, Vulikach Shochad. You can't bribe him. Uksiv Basrei. And afterwards the Pasuk says, this great, awesome God, the Holy God, Osem Mishpat Yosem Hamona, he does judgment for the orphan and for the widow, for Ohev Ger, and he loves the stranger, Lotet Lo Lechem Vesimlo, to give him bread and garments. Shoni Banavim, a second time it appears in the prophets, Ko Amad Ram Veniso Shokhin Ad Kodosh, Moron the Kodosh Eshkon. God says, the great God who is high, exalted, raised, uplifted, holy. And you know what? Though I am on high, Edako Ushval Ruach. You know I am? I'm with thee, the downtrodden, those who are low in spirit, Lachabot Ruach, Sholim, Olachot Leiv, Nitkayim, in order to lift the spirits of those who are down. And the third time in the Ksuvim, Shiru Lalikim Zamu, Shmo Solu Arochot, Ba'arabot B'yoshino V'yuzu L'fanav, talking about the great God from whom we sing before him. And you know what he is? He wants to be known as Avi Yitomim, the father of orphans, the Dayan Almanot, the one who judges for the widow, Elokim B'maon Kacho, that same God, B'maon Kacho. Gadol, that Yochanan is saying, Gadol represents Amdinetanuto, God's humility. So therefore, God is silent, he's long-suffering, he's Erech Apayim. So Manche Knesset HaGadol were telling us the following. Number one, Yirmiyahu and Daniel were honest. Don't tell me your frumer stuff that you see God in Auschwitz. That's not. A Jew is supposed to be pained terribly about that. That's not where you go finding God. Go find him in a beautiful tree someplace. Or in the smile of a baby. Yirmiyahu was honest. God, I don't see you as Noah. Daniel said, I don't see your might when Jews are being enslaved throughout the world. Aren't you Knesset HaGadolah? When I'm greater than Yirmiyahu and Daniel, aren't you Knesset HaGadolah lived in a different era? We have gone through all three of them, and we're living in the era of Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Ganora. A Jewish people that are not enslaved, are not in exile, we are not under the heel of any other people on the face of this earth. And you know what our great responsibility is? Praise the Lord. Thank him
for all the great outpouring of chesed. That's what Yom Yerushalayim is all about. And Shavuos after it, Yom Yerushalayim is there. We have to, in the fullness, I tell you, you've got to say, Zahayam Osachem Nogilo Minis Mechabal. I'm sure many of you were here. I remember when I was here in 55 and 56, years ago, through such knipshin, somebody would take you to the top of a building and tell you, look there, and when you come there, imagine,
just move it to the right, that's what a hotel is.
That wasn't the only problem. You know, I think it's unbelievable. The Manila Mall is most probably one of the most beautiful in the world, right? That's a gorgeous place. I remember when there was no mall there, but a big, gray, foreboding concrete wall with barbed wire. I think it's a mitzvah on the way to the hotel to go through the mall, maybe stopping at the Rimonim and a few other places and say, Zah Yom HaShem Nagilo Nisbhavo. I've always said that for 19 years there was an ugly equation in this world. There were two cities in the world that were divided by an ugly wall. Yerushalayim and Berlin. On Chof Ches Iyar 1967, the walls came down in Yerushalayim. And then there was one, Berlin. And then the walls came down there. Are we ever going to permit that wall to go up this city? Not a chance in the world. And the only thing that we can do about it, we're not the greatest politicians, the only thing we can do about it is pray. The Liberation wants to hear us thank him for the great present. He wants to hear us say, okay, Adobo, Adibor, Father.
That's enough.
There's no class next week. No class next week. It's Erev Yom Tov.
And you don't have to look. It's all there.
Okay, I'm